Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, March 22nd, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you on this beautiful, warm day?
Oh, spring has sprung.
Yay. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's gorgeous, and I'm loving every minute of it.
I wish we'd have more than just, you know, we just never have enough of these days. You know, they're always short, limited, and...
That's true.
You know, but hey,
your whole life's
in...
that way after a while. Your whole life's that way. It flies by.
It does, doesn't it?
Sure. I like to stretch these days out to 48 hours so we can spend more time in the sunshine. But if we did that, I'm sure people complain. So let's just let it be what it is.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, just, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah,
so we'll
it is.
Keep it. Yes, mercy. Well, let's go ahead and may as well get to the gold pricing. I know that's what everybody's waiting for. Gold today was down $5.50 at $17.40. And we did have a low of $17.29, so it popped back nice. Silver was down 49 cents at $25.86. Platinum was down 8 at $11.88. Palladium was down 14 at $2,676. So precious metals sector was down today, no big deal. And the USDX today was down a little bit also, down 0.17, 91.78. Crude oil was up 5 cents at 61.47. So, Fed Chair Jerome Powell, he is just... anyway, we'll talk about him later. the paper markets today is the Dow. Well, let's go ahead and see what the 10-year yield did. 1.73%. The euro was 119. Asian markets were down. Japan was down a little over 2%. Everything else was pretty quiet overnight. And we have the Dow up 103, 32,731. The NASDAQ was up 162, 13,377. The S&P was up 27 at 3,940 as I speak. And that's pretty much it. It was just another strange day. Everything seems to be quiet, even though they're not. There are a lot of interesting things that are...
I'm going to say a lot of factors that should be weighing in on this, but they're not for some reason.
Yeah, you have an existing U.S. Yeah, existing U.S. home sales. They fell in February. Dave always likes to talk about that, so we'll probably talk about that tomorrow. But they fell, existing U.S. home sales, probably because of the higher rates, possibly. I don't know if there was any too many, you know, dollar short bets. Let's see what these hedge funds that capitulate on dollar short bets as losses mount. No, but I'm sure that's temporary. I mean, that's what these hedge funds do. They go in and they go out real quick, make their money, and then they go on to the next. They go on to the next sector in order to make their money. So I don't know, Butch. I know you got a lot of news. If there was one you have there that just really gets my goat, I'll just let you know.
Yeah, we'll share it in a second. But we had
how do you know which one it is? How do you know which one it is?
Because I heard you talk about a minute ago. Jerome Powell.
No, that's... Oh, well, that wasn't the one. There was another one.
Oh, it wasn't the one?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
There's another one that gets my goat even more, but...
Well, okay. We'll get that, I'm sure. But by the way, I had another caller ask if you could do the market reports at the bottom of the hour also. I don't remember the reason the person said, but I guess he misses the top of the hour. This will run up by if you want to do that. That's up to you entirely, of course. But he told me
I've gotten those requests. I've gotten those requests. No disrespect for those who do request that. And it's all fine and dandy, but then there's so much news, we forget to do it. I forget to do it.
I know.
And, you know, we just move on. And we can either Usually they are repeated if there's some, you know, big moves in the markets and so forth, and they're worth repeating and so forth. That's why I kind of tried to slow it down a little bit, to make sure everybody can get on the program so they can hear the top of the hour. So there you go.
Well, and
I didn't
give it,
I didn't say a yes and I didn't say a no.
you're definitely a woman. You can do that real well.
That's a maybe.
You're a definite maybe. Yep, absolutely. I understand that. But, you know, but really and truly, unless something huge happens, and it doesn't happen very often, everything stays about the same. Mm-hmm. If you know what I'm saying, market-wise, it's, you know, a little bit up, a little bit down.
Yep.
You know, a little bit sideways. It's just, and it's not just here, it's worldwide as a whole. So it is. But this article isn't what you was talking about then, but I'll share it anyway because I thought this was really, really arrogant. Fed hopes for inflation psych out, PSYCH, psych out stable expectations as prices rise. Federal Reserve mission is to maintain stable prices, but Chair Jerome Powell takes on that may seem surprising. He doesn't really care if people pay more for stuff. Isn't that sweet of him? Instead, Powell last week flagged a nuanced but critical shift in Fed strategy, putting more weight on the psychology surrounding inflation and less on how prices actually behave. So he don't care what you pay as long as you think you're okay. You're going to psych you out. Now, Melody, that is arrogant. That is absolutely irresponsible. And what other word can you use?
Oh, there's a bunch of them, but, none of them cares, because the thing of it is they need inflation. They like inflation. They're going to get inflation. And everybody knows this. I mean, it's just a given. They all know the game that they're playing. The only ones who don't know the game are the ones that are out trying to make a living, trying to, you know, to survive. And hey, who cares about inflation? You got money flowing out of government. So, you know, they got it all. They got all the bases covered. But Jerome Powell, he wants inflation. He needs inflation. So, yeah, he's not going to care about anybody else. Bring it on, he says.
But he wants to psych us out on it. That's mind control. Of course, they've done it. They've done it to us for years.
I don't know exactly what he means by psych us out.
Well, I think what he means is he wants to keep people interested in something else they won't notice as much. Psych us out. You know, there's other things more important than inflation. I mean, they've kept us wrapped up and tied down and locked down with COVID for over a year now. People finally begin to realize it's a huge hoax and they get mad about it. But nonetheless, they keep us entertained with other things, and who knows what that could be. God forbid there be another war involved in. But inflation's already here, and they're saying inflation's been held at 2% the last decade or so, per year, I mean. If people believe that, then I don't know what to say. I just want to say. 2% would be wonderful if it held at that, but it's been much, much more than that.
They can't hold off inflation because we do have a fiat currency. I mean, that's just a given. They might be able to disguise it, but they won't be able to, inflation is here to stay. So you either hold those paper dollars and let it get washed away with those fiat dollars or do something about it. So,
well, as long as you have fiat currency, inflation has to happen. It can't be anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it can't be anything else. It has to happen. And with every day goes by, your dollar is worth less. If you have it in the bank, you're actually losing money big time. Mm-hmm. And people, for some reason, seem to think that because I've got $20,000 in the bank, I'm making money off that. No, you're actually not making money off that. You're losing probably close to 9-10% a year of your purchasing power. But whereas if you put that in a couple pieces of gold and a little bit of silver, it certainly ain't going to lose any value, and it's probably going to gain value. So that's what we have to look at. And I've said this many times. I wish I would have known and had the wherewithal 50 years ago to purchase silver and gold coins and put them back for a while. That would have made me today a very independently wealthy individual as far as taking didn't care about mine and my children's needs. But I didn't know. No one taught me. Actually, you and some other, Bob Chapman's, were the ones that broke me into this over several years. So, I mean, that's how I learned. And I, when I started studying the scriptures and the other things, our founding fathers' writings, I realized how we got in this mess. And we're in a mess. Financially, more than that, but financially, we're really in a mess here. Anything else you want to add to that?
Nope. We're in a mess.
Here's something that's almost laughable. Senator Schumer begs airline not to leave New York and move jobs to Florida. On today's episode of New York's Downward Spiral, JetBlue Airlines is eyeing moving jobs to Florida as their business continues to suffer under the strict lockdown measures in New York. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer personally called JetBlue Chief Executive Robin Hayes and begged him to remember JetBlue's roots and not take jobs elsewhere. Senator Chuck Schumer personally pleaded with JetBlue's boss not to shrink the budget, airline's Big Apple workforce, and away shipping jobs to Florida. The senior New York senator said he made his case on a phone call with JetBlue Chief Executive Robin Hayes Wednesday evening, a day after the Post exclusively reported that the carrier was considering whether to move some jobs from its Long Island City headquarters to existing offices in the Sunshine State. On Thursday, Schumer told the Post he wanted to remind Hayes that JetBlue's roots and its future are here in New York. He also pointed out the billions of dollars in federal aid that airlines like he had received during the coronavirus. But anyway, so he reminded them that this is their future, and this is their roots. Now, okay, maybe that's where they started. But if they're not financially prospering, why is that their future? And if the lockdown is still affecting them, why should they stay there in Florida? Let them go back to work full time. I don't get Schumer's is desperate when he starts coming up. Well, these are your roots. You can't leave us. Well, you started here. That makes a difference where they started. They still have to pay the bills, don't they?
Well, they do. It's just like anything else, you know. I mean, New York is you know, everything is not good for New York and for the city. But to threaten, and I get it. All of these corporations receive so much stimulus, not just during, you know, these downturns and so forth. They receive all kinds of bonuses, not bonuses, but stimulus and tax freebies and stuff like that from the local governments and the state governments and so forth, which I think is disgusting. But then you have the state wanting to come by and they threaten, because it was a veiled threat. So you can't leave New York. Look what we did for you. And you're right. They're going to do what they're going to do. But, you know, it just depends on if they move to Florida. What is Florida willing to give these people?
Well, you know, I like to know.
It's disgusting.
It is
both
disgusting.
Both states are wrong.
It is disgusting.
And the corporation is wrong.
I would just like to know, though, the amount of money that New York has lost in businesses leaving and individuals, families leaving. I'd like to know what they've lost in revenue, and especially in like New York City. I mean, where it cost almost $450,000 a year to house an inmate for 1 year.
Well, I mean, just as many people are leaving, you still have people moving to New York also. But I do think there is a gap. You know, there aren't as many people moving in there that is left. But the number, when you see the big headline news of how many people left, well, you know, maybe, you know, you got 2/3 of those coming, you know, other people moving into the, you know, so it is a little distorted, you know, with some of these headlines and so forth, but it's still loss of revenue, period.
Well,
and you
California,
think of all these businesses can't do sales tax because they've been closed for how long?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's, these states are desperate. That's what was in this bill. The 1.9 was money to, you know, these states. And it's, for all this mismanagement.
And many states, including Illinois and some others, are bankrupt already before this all started. You know that to
sure.
be true also. And
yes.
And California is losing people by the millions, and I'm sure there's some going out there, like you said, but overall, if they're gaining 75%, lose 25% over a period of years, that's still losing 25% of the total. You know, and it adds up eventually. But when businesses aren't producing, people aren't getting paid. They're not paying income taxes and other taxes. Businesses aren't paying taxes. So, yeah, it's going to hurt. So either they knew what they were doing and didn't care. I mean, that's all I can say. They either knew it or they were ignorant of the fact. Either way, they're losing. That's just all there is to it. They're losing. The sad part is that people lose also.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
and, you know, I wonder with all of these, I mean, every time you turn around, they're talking about UFOs. I mean, you talk about distractions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never seen so much headline news and so forth on, you know, former director of national intelligence reveals feds have secret evidence, breaking sound barrier without sonic boom. Can you recall a time?
No, I can't. But desperate people do desperate things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and they're desperate. I don't know how much longer they can play this game. I really don't know. We're going to cover in a little bit. The nations are looking into a digital coin and what's going on there. They can't cover this much longer. The inflation that's happening not just happening here, it's around the world. Fiat currencies always inflate and eventually destroy themselves. And the people's wealth with it. If people put their faith in fiat currency, their wealth's going down with it. I don't care whether it's in the stock market or in the bank. When the fiat currency crashes, everything crashes. Because the stock market runs on dollar values, and inflated dollars make it look like it's a lot more than what it really is. And when the bubble bursts, it's going to hurt.
It certainly is.
Along those lines? So... All we can do and what you've done for years is try to tell the people this is the way it is, because eventually the game has to end. You can't keep on going further in debt and get out of debt. And when it comes to the point we are now in America, they don't care how much they're in debt. They don't care. They know they can't pay it back. They don't care. It's like Jerome Powell doesn't care about inflation. Overall, they don't care about debt. They know they can't pay back $35 trillion in debt or whatever it may be. It's probably a lot higher than that. They know that. So why not print more money? Keep the economy going a few more years. And they don't really care. They're not concerned. If they were, Mel, they would have stopped this 100 years ago when it first got started. They would allow it to happen. They would have paid the bills as they went, but that hasn't happened. And it's mostly the people's fault, because we not only tolerate it, most people like it because they're getting freebies out of it, they think. They never stop to consider that their children and their children's children are going to pay for the debt they created, one way or the other. They're going to pay for it. All right.
Here we go. And here we go. We got some old-time television music for you again this week. You're listening to Financial Survival. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have saw it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
That's all, folks. No, I'm just kidding. We're just beginning. I don't do that very well, so I shouldn't have done it at all. But anyway, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Visit the website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And where are you going to take us next, Butch?
Well, this one I thought was interesting, and maybe it's one you're talking about being discussed with, because it's true, and it's a sad state of affairs. Businesses say they can't find workers because unemployment pays more. Now, yeah, restaurants and small businesses are struggling to find employees as the government continues to provide so much financial assistance in response to the coronavirus pandemic that it can be more cost-effective for some to remain unemployed. Wow. Every small business and small restaurant is hurting right now because the government is paying people to stay home, basically. Illinois restaurant owner Nick Morgenthaler told WCIA TV in Champaign, Illinois. Staffing is impossible. It's impossible to find anybody that wants to come to work. Morgenthaler, who owns two restaurants in Decatur, said that even though he has had ads out looking for employees for weeks, he has received many applications. The government has made it too easy. It's basically all the stimulus money and then the extra money on the unemployment, and then extending the unemployment for people that have just been on unemployment, he said. You know, that's really true. Businesses that are not huge businesses can't even begin to compete with that. And that's all they're still with them. You put out ads in the paper and you don't get any applications really speak of for weeks. That's got to be discouraging. But, you know, I don't have anybody here as far as work for me. Point blank, some here work with the ministry, volunteer work, but as far as working here for me right now, I get somebody come to help with some once in a while. But you know, it's hard to find people that want to work, even young people, teenagers, a lot of them don't want to work anymore. They don't really care to. And if you get one, they don't seem like they're interested in what you're doing. You got to stay with them and prod them along, you know, like, you know, you do this next and do this next one. They don't want to think their way through it. So I feel sorry for these people. I really do. I mean, if you can make more money to stay at home, why should they work?
Well, I mean, it certainly is different than from when, you know, we were kids and, you know, when we were growing up in the, looking for jobs. There were always jobs there to better yourself. And a lot of these low-wage jobs, I mean, that was just something for high school. That was something to get you and, you know, a little bit of experience. So, you know, when you get out of high school and you get out of college, you know, you have work experience and you could, you know, further your career. It was easy to further your career. There was always, it was competitive. There was wages and benefits, but all that's been lost. And the number one reason is because our jobs are someplace else other than this country. Plus, we have open borders. And, you know, you have people, you know, just coming right across the borders and so forth. And a lot of the jobs, I mean, they're willing to work. I mean, and some of these foreigners that come into this country, that a lot of them want to work and they want to work hard because they know what they left. And we did kind of get spoiled. We do have it easy. But I'm not so sure that's such a good thing. Maybe it's gone just a little too far. But this is all, Butch, I guess it's all just sort of a, you know, where we evolve, you know, as this country evolves, as the capitalism evolves and we continue to better and, you know, we get to the point then things aren't so good anymore.
Well, capitalism.
Or maybe they're not as good as they were. They're still good, but not as good as they were.
Well, capitalism, when if you're not careful, you read it a while the other day, I think you read, somebody read it about the evolution of nations. When you reach prosperity, they start declining. And yes. Capitalism works well when it's pure, and I say pure capitalism, not in the sense that it's destructive, but people allowed to work, they're to earn the way and start businesses and make on their own or fail on their own, but they're free to do that. But it seems like when people start getting it prosperous, they start turning more and devolving into socialism and handouts, and government gets involved, and they want to take care of the poor and at the price of the so-called rich. And it evolves further and further than what we're seeing right now, that they can't find workers because they're making more money being at home. That's not the way it ought to be, Melody. And welfare was never meant to be a career. That's what become.
No.
That's what become.
And there's two things that we want to, I want you, and this is the perfect time to bring up the reparations.
Oh, yes.
That's the one that's got me.
We got that right here. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Yep, it's next one. It's the next, second one down the list. Okay, let's talk about that because that is important. You know, between that and UTIs or anything else,
UBIs.
UTIs.
Not UTIs.
Right.
We know what they are.
Yeah, there you go. But UBIs, why work? Really and sincerely, why work? Now, I don't think I'm the laziest guy in the world, but if somebody would have had me stay home for all my years, I'd rather went deer hunting overall than we'll go out and go to work. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. But I never was one to sit around and expect to be given something for nothing. It bothered me. I came to it now. I'm 72 years old. So I have a hard time understanding how people can, I hate to use the word pride, but can swallow their, especially men, their manhood and become a slave to the state, so to speak, and a servant to the state by obeying the rules and get the handouts. To me, that's disgusting. I can't see that. I understand temporary help. I have nothing against temporary help. But when people get paid more to be at home, or as much to be at home, why should they work? And that destroys the manhood in an individual. And, of course, does ladies, too. But I'm talking about overall to the manhood of the country. It used to be the men were the breadwinners in the homes. That's been destroyed. But Chicago suburbs, now this is makes me angry, plans to pay black residents reparations could be a model, could be a national model. Now, folks, listen to this. This is Evansville, Indiana. Decades ago, in the Chicago suburb of Evanston, Cordelia Clark ran a restaurant out of her kitchen and parked cabs for a taxi company, for her taxi company, in her backyard because black residents were effectively barred from owning or renting storefronts in town. Now, I really, if that's true, she wasn't allowed to rent those storefronts, that was not right. I agree. But the lady had her own business, a restaurant, and a taxi company, and she did all right, apparently. Why is she complaining? Why is she whining? Now, Evansville is poised to become the first U.S. city to offer reparation money to black residents whose families suffered lasting damage from decades of discriminatory practices. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't get it. I mean, I won't even go there. It's time. It's about time that something has come from the hard work of African Americans in this city. Folks, the Irish settlers were discriminated against. So were the Polish settlers discriminated against. For years, this is all true. Why are we looking at reparations? White folks were also belittled and enslaved over the years. I mean, when most people come to this country, in the beginning of this nation, they come in as bond servants to work the way to liberty in this country, to pay off what the debts they owe to people who brought them over here. Let's move on before I get too excited. It's about time that something has come to the hard work of African Americans in this city, proving that they should be treated as anyone else, said Clark's great-grandmother, Dolores Robinson, 58. Great-grandmother, 58. She started young. Evanston's initial approach to reparations is narrow and targeted. The city council, which has already committed $10 million over a decade to the effort, will vote on Monday to begin with a $400,000 round of payments. The first phase will provide $25,000 to a small number of Ezra black residents for home repairs, down payments on mortgage or mortgage repayments, and a nod toward historically racist housing policies. Guess who gets to pay that?
Yep.
Will you agree or not?
Well,
They're going to take your taxes. They're going to take your money and pay it. But just like they do with property taxes and finance public schools, which I detest. I detest public school system. They take my property taxes, and that increases every year or two, and take it for public schools. I detest that. There's no worse form of slavery than making an individual pay for something he doesn't believe in. I mean, they complain, well, if they took money and give it to churches? It's the same thing. It's the same idea. You don't want to give to church, that's fine. You shouldn't have to. But I shouldn't have to fund something I don't believe in either. So let's pay pays. The taxpayer is going to pay for this in Evanston, the Illinois. And folks, if you live in Evanston, you may want to consider this. Maybe it might be a place you may want to live other than Evanston. But go ahead, Melody.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, it doesn't matter where you move, because they're going to, you know, if this is going to be the model for the rest of the nation, and this is a test. This is a test to see how the rest of the nation accepts it. And it's conditioning the rest of the country. Half of the people are going to say, well, isn't that nice? Isn't that great? They'll be able to paint their homes. And I saw pictures of Evanston and areas like that. Probably, and this is no disrespect for anyone who lives in, you know, whose budgets, it isn't about that. If the town wants to gussy up and put paint on some of these older homes, or some of the homes might need roofs, make it a community. Don't make it based on racism and discrimination. Because that's what it is. You're discriminating against other people because it really doesn't have anything to do with slavery. So if you want to gussy up your neighborhood and you want to spend $10 million and, you know, help people paint their houses and so forth, they haven't been able to, you know, hey, go for it. But not reparations. And the city, it's just... Are you kidding me? This is where we are. And I'll guarantee you, it wasn't that long ago that Evanston could barely pay their bills. And where are they getting the $10 million to do this? You can't tell me that Chicago and these areas aren't hurting for money. But, oh, no, the Biden team is preparing up to a $3 trillion new spending for the economy. Gee, how much of that $3 trillion is going to be going to Evanston for reparations of $10 million? Or did this $10 million come from COVID stimulus? And it should be going to this anyway, so where did the $10 million come from? $3 trillion. That's what they're beginning to do. This is their infrastructure plan. And of course, they're going to tell you it's going to be financed through tax increases on corporations and the rich. Oh, everybody hates these corporations and the rich. Well, what'd they do? It's government that gave them all the stimulus and gives them all the taxes, tax relief, and so forth. Now they go after them. They're creating another divide. You have to hate the rich. Well, if it wasn't for the rich, you wouldn't have a job either. Butch.
Amen. I agree.
It's just, I mean, what is wrong?
It's insane.
It isn't. And Biden, he doesn't have a clue.
No, Biden doesn't have a clue. He doesn't have a clue.
He doesn't have a clue.
Even Fox News is saying Biden doesn't have a clue. He's not fit to be a leader. Fox News is saying that. Not me. Fox News is saying that.
I mean, so. It's just like, you know, it's just amazing.
I guess we're to assume then, Melody, that because the blacks had the hard time, and apparently they're still the poorest, there are no poor white folks in Evanston, so we can ignore them.
Yeah.
And the half the people that want, they're all for this, I got an idea. And I really, hey, if you're all for this, they should set up a fund or special tax for those who are all for it. Say, let's take 10% of your earnings to put towards this. And the ones who are against it, we won't take it. We respect your, opinion and your privacy. We will not take your money to do this if you don't want to do it. But for those all for it, hey, just drop us a note. We'll take 10% of your paycheck for it and see how many volunteer to do it.
I think that's a wonderful plan.
I guarantee you that 99% of them say they're all for it. All of a sudden, they'll shrink into the wall somewhere.
Yeah, because these politicians probably don't even live there. I don't know.
That's right.
Well, it's not any different than the stimulus that's going for the farmers. It's to the minorities, not to the white farmers, just to the minority people. And it's like, so it's just more divide. And just by us saying that, there's people out there that are going to call us racists.
That's fine. I've been called worse than that.
But the thing of it is, Butch, I'm not. But
no,
of course, I saw somebody on television that they were saying, well, people are racist, but they just don't know it. They were born with it. It's inbred in us that we're just naturally, and we just don't know it.
Well, if that's
other
true,
people can see it in us, but we can't
see
true, it
in ourselves. If that's true, then blacks and whites and all other colors are born racist. If that's what it is, they're all born racist.
Yeah, everybody's born racist then.
Sure, if that's the way it works, we all are.
No, Butch, it's just us white folk.
Well,
I
have a dear friend named Jonathan Alexander who works with the Liberty Council. He spoke at about fellowship. He's not talking on the phone quite often. I think he'd disagree that I'm a racist. He's coming down to visit us in our home soon, sometime this summer, and speak to us again. But I really have got to the point now, Melody, I'm almost immune to what they call me. Being on the radio as long as I've been and preaching the Bible, and I've been called all kinds of names. Some names you wouldn't dare say on the radio. But I've got to mean that. They call my Savior, you know, a fraud, and they can call me a bastard. So why should I be upset because they call me something? So I got over that a long time ago. We're telling the truth here, folks. Just because we don't want to finance somebody whose great-great-great-grandma was a slave, whether it be white, black, pink, or purple, doesn't make us racist. It means that we don't feel responsible because we weren't even here. They're making it now. Let them be. Let's all join together, not as African-Americans, but as Americans, and make this a better country. Is that a good idea, Melody?
I think if this was a better country, and you know why. I mean, those are the jobs that they sent overseas.
I agree.
I mean, yeah. So let's see who's really accountable for the position that they're in. And I don't care what color they are, whether they're black, white, whatever, Asian, whatever. A lot of people are in that poverty. And why? Because we thought our government thought it was better to ship our jobs overseas,
yep,
export our inflation, so they could fool us a little bit longer, so we could buy the cheap trinkets from China. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. So we were talking about the $3 trillion stimulus, but you know, Biden's advisors are expected to present a proposal to the president this week that recommends carving his economic agenda into separate legislative pieces rather than trying to push a mammoth package through Congress. And the new spending and the plans would be $3 trillion. So, you know, anytime they spend $3 trillion for the budget, you know it's going to cost you $4, $5, and $6 trillion because nothing ever comes in at what they say. It's always more expensive. But yet this figure does not include the cost, now get this, of extending new temporary tax cuts meant to fight poverty. That could reach hundreds of billions of dollars. It's just like, didn't the fight on poverty was, didn't that lose through the Johnson administration? That never worked, right? I mean, we need jobs. That's how you fight poverty, is with jobs.
You allow corporations to build and grow and bring businesses in, not ship them out.
Exactly.
That's the whole idea. You know, but that unfortunately doesn't work that way. But you know, what's $3 trillion among friends, Melody?
No, $3 trillion plus.
Yeah.
We're all going to build windmills.
There you go.
Windmills and.
Yeah, they want to go to, of course, electric cars. GM was good there, but so many years in the future, totally electric. And I'm thinking, do you really think you're going to do better with electric? You know what the price of electricity is going to cost you to charge your car and being taxed per mile and upkeep? An electrical car is going to be more complicated than the internal combustion cars. That all sounds wonderful. But how do you produce electricity? You can't produce all windmills. And Texas found out that natural ways don't work when it freezes. They didn't work. They were shut down, period. So, folks, we're being taken down a primrose path to our own destruction. Problem is, most people never look up to see where they're going. They just keep their eyes down, keep on walking. They don't pay attention to the future at all. They get by for the day, and that's all they think about. And that's why we're in this mess to begin with. My dad's generation, man, his dad's generation, didn't think much about the future of the children's generation. They get by in their generation. That's where we are today. Any comments, Melody?
Well, something else in this $3 trillion, the spending would heavily relay on infrastructure improvements, clean energy deployment, and the development of other high-growth industries of the future, like 5G telecommunications. It includes money for rural broadband, advanced training for millions of workers. Advanced training for millions of workers. We're going to cancel out student loans so then we can send them for advanced training so they can get a job. 1 million, and 1 million affordable and energy efficient housing units. So the government's going to get involved in building housing units. Documents suggest it will include that's probably going for the part of the reparations. Documents suggest it will include nearly $1 trillion in spending alone on the construction of roads, bridges, rail lines, ports, electric vehicle charging stations, and improvements to the electric grid and other parts of the power sector. So, That's a lot.
It is a lot.
You know, we talk about trillions. I'm just going to bring this in, then you can change the topic.
Go ahead.
I was watching a program, and there was this two people were looking up at the sky at night, and there was just the sky was just, in this movie, was just scattered with stars. Stars were just everywhere, one on top of another. One person said to the other, I wonder how many, and these were scientists, I think. And one said, I wonder how many stars are up there that we're seeing. And he said, oh, probably about 100 billion. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, that's a pretty good, and I'm thinking of trillion. So all the stars that you could see, that you could see at night is only a fraction.
Drop in a bucket.
Of a trillion. You know, it's just a fraction of what a trillion would be. All the stars that you could see at night is just a fraction. And we're up to 35 plus so forth. But anyway, I just thought that was, it made me think of the trillions of dollars and how big it is, but how little that we can relate to it.
Well, that's very true. That's why I kept the figure in my mind about a trillion seconds being 32,000 years ago. That kind of makes me understand a little more of what a trillion is. And we're 35 trillion there that they emit in debt. So multiply 35 times 32,000, you see, I mean, just get an idea how many that's going to be dollar-wise. There's no way we can comprehend it. It's impossible.
Yeah.
We just can't do it. I wanted to share this article because this digital coin everybody's talking about, and we're going to see what is coming out. It already started in one country already failed with it. The Federal Reserve digital dollar momentum worries Wall Street. The financial services industry braced for what could be its biggest disruption in decades. It's about to get an early glimpse at the Federal Reserve's work on a new digital currency. Wall Street is not thrilled. Banks, credit card companies and digital payment processors are nervously watching the push to create an electronic alternative to the paper mills Americans carry in their wallets, or what some call a digital dollar and others call it a Fed coin. As soon as July, officials in the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which have been developing prototypes for a digital dollar platform, plan to unveil their research, said James Cunha, who leads a project for the Boston Fed. A digital currency could fundamentally change the way Americans use money, leading some financial firms to lobby the Fed and Congress to slow its creation, or at least ensure they're not cut out. Now, some people already started this, folks. Bahamas started as a sand dollar in 2020. Brazil has plans to get it in place by 2022. China is piloting a digital yuan in major cities. Canada is in the planning process. The Eurozone, the digital euro, may be as early as this April, next month. Japan is going to experiment this spring. Russia has a pilot plan. Sweden has one called eKrona, E-K-R-O-N-A. It'll be available in 2022. The United States, as I just read, is researching and looking for some pilot plans. And Venezuela tried it in 2018 and failed. It's going back with oil, but they failed. So the digital coin, folks, I mean, Venezuela's going back with oil. At least there's something tangible behind it. The digital monies that are being talked about now have nothing to back them at all. So why do we think that this is going to make things better and easier? I don't know how to explain any better, Melody, than to say that this is going to be more control. That's all it's about, is control. And you're going to toe the line and keep your social credit score up, or you won't get paid. Is that a good way to look at it?
Absolutely, it is. And, you know, I'm just not on board with governments going to be changing over immediately to, you know, some sort of a digital currency. That doesn't mean that, you know, they're not investigating it or and so forth and whatnot. I don't think anybody can appreciate the massive, I mean, how massive of a production that would be to convert. I mean, in order for them to even attempt to go into a digital currency, and this is my opinion, is the whole system has to collapse first. because people are not going to accept digital currency off the bat. Sure, you're young techies and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, they will. They'll think it's cool and all this kind of stuff. But there's still a lot of people on the planet who's just not going to accept it. So is it going to be an alternative? It's going to be too complicated. I mean, why do you think it was, you know, when you have a one world reserve currency, I mean, it's going to collapse before it gets replaced. What I do know that is happening this year, and we haven't talked about it for a while, is the LIBOR rate. That goes, they're eliminating that. This is the year that it was supposed to sell. Does that have some sort of a correlation to the LIBOR rate and maybe the digital currencies that'll be done in trade or, you know, from government transactions and so forth and whatnot? I have no idea. But for, I believe the system has to totally collapse first before they could usher in and say, give us your $100 and here's a little digit for you. People just aren't going to do it unless they're made to do it. That's what I believe. I think it's too big of a, you know, it's just, I mean, it's huge. When you're talking about the, you know, we talk about our 35 trillion, whatever the trillion dollar debt is. And then you think about the currencies around the world to the tune of how many trillions of dollars? I don't know, Butch. I don't think it's going to be such an easy process unless collapses
it's
first.
Going to mean this, all the business is going to change their way and their method of payment and everything, too. So
yeah,
it's
that's
just,
not going to happen.
It's going to be a mess. It really is. I don't know how they're going to do it. I really don't know.
It's not going to happen unless it all collapses. It's impossible.
But you know, you saw what people are putting up with the Bitcoin. Countries around the world are also getting fed up. People are fed up with this COVID shutdown. I mean, mm-hmm. It's happening in Germany where Merkel says he will extend another month. The people are on the streets, literally in the streets and protesting. And in Sweden, I believe it is, in Sweden they arrested 36 people, but they were throwing balls at the cops because they're tired of being shut down. It's happening around the world. That's not the only place it's happening. The people are getting fed up with being told they can't go to work. And they're suffering. They won't go back to work. And some people are getting to say enough's enough. Even in this country, I'm seeing more of an unrest in people that are, even though they're lifting restrictions, it's still not going back to what it was enough that people are being satisfied that, hey, I can go out and I can travel. I want to be able to do what I did before. I was all tied down because of COVID. So that's a good thing. I think people are getting to wake up, and I may stop this and growing any bigger. I hope. I know Israel has really cracked down on anyone who has an anti-vaccination, really big time, cracked down on them to the point they become non-citizens, really. And that it's really a not a good thing when they start making people take vaccinations that they don't want, don't approve of, against their beliefs, whatever. But Israel is right now has made more or less made people non-citizens. They can't travel, do much anything without unless they take vaccinations. So may this be a start to stop this before it gets any further. And before we run out of time, too, ICE, the immigration group, is now securing hotels to put illegal families in. They've awarded $86 million contract for hotel room near the border to hold around 1,200 migrant families. They don't say illegal. They say migrant. Who cross U.S. border. I mean, this is happening, folks, right now as we speak. It's in Texas. Is the main place right now, but ICE is secured $86 million at our money to house illegals. I mean, of course, we have to feed them and make sure they're taken care of medically. That's all on our backs, and the borders are wide open. Biden's administration opened up wide as they can get. They've actually taken the guards off the border and put them behind desk jobs to process the paperwork. This is where we are. America is literally being invaded. There was a time that could have been considered an act of war, by the way, also. So, there we go. So, Melody, we're now going to pay for them, put them up in a motel. Isn't that wonderful?
I'm sure they're very nice motels.
I'm sure they are. I mean, we can afford the best, right?
Yes, really. Well, you know, the one thing I mentioned it on this program before, too, and definitely there is a situation going on down there, but I see a lot on some of the media programs on television and so forth, where they compare the influx of these illegal aliens to the last year's numbers. And you got to remember, last year was COVID year. you really have to compare these numbers to 2019 if you want a true comparison. And I don't know how far off they were from 2019 because you don't see anybody make that comparison. Who was coming here during the, you know, a so-called pandemic? The borders were shut.
That's a good point. Well, quick question. Why can we shut them down now? Why can't we shut them down and say nobody's crossing without the proper paperwork and becoming legal citizens? If they shut them down for a virus.
They were able to, you're right.
You know?
And I'm not saying some didn't come through and so forth. I'm sure they did. But I mean, I'm just using that as a comparison as far as, you know, the numbers coming through. But we all seen the pictures and we also want to know why, you know, you can't have media journalists go down and investigate. They won't let them in. They won't let them in some of these facilities.
That's right.
And the Biden administration says, well, we're putting together some video so that we can show everybody. It's like, really, we have to look at your video. Journalists can't go in and do their own.
That should tell something.
You would think.
That should tell something, yes.
There's a lot going on in there, but it's distorted. It's a bad situation.
Well, everything's distorted. No matter who's in office, what's going on, everything. You don't know who to trust any longer. You really don't. But if things shut down the borders because of a virus, there's no reason why they can't shut down and keep illegals out, period. There's no reason at all. And let Mexico, who allowed them to come in their country, let them be the ones paid the price, not us.
Can you close the program? We're out of time anyway.
I sure can. I hear the puppy. I sure can. And folks, it happens. You got a dog in the house. Sometimes it happens. But in closing, I just want to share this. If you keep up with the news, and I know most of y'all do, Scripture talks about things happening in the last days, Matthew 24 and other places. Japan just had a 7.0 earthquake. Hey, wow, right out of time. And a volcano in Iceland erupted the first time in 800 years. Things are happening to all the world, folks. Prepare yourself. Please give Melody a call at 800-375-4188. And I'll see you Wednesday. Mel, you see you tomorrow.